I worked as a waiter throughout my entire time studying to become a pastor, and it paid the bills, did very well, but I also met some pretty interesting people. Almost every Saturday morning, there was a lady we called the Angel Lady that would come into my restaurant right when we first opened. And she would tell people their future, supposedly, by talking to the angels. She was a hack. She was a con artist. She was just trying to get money out of people. Angels don't know the future. They don't. They only know as much as what God allows them to know. They are not omniscient. They don't know all things like God does. But there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to angels. So this week, we're going to talk on understanding angels. That lady encouraged those people who spoke with her to pray to the angels, to talk to them, and ask the angels to do their work and their bidding. But yet God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." That our prayers only go to and through Jesus. We should not pray to anyone other than the triune God. But yet this lady was telling these people to pray to the angels. The angels do God's work, not ours. Imagine a military convoy is going past your house for some reason, and you stop the convoy and say, whoa, can you come into my house? My toilet is stopped up, the dishes are piled up, the laundry is there, I need your help. They're probably gonna run you over because you're not their commanding officer. But if the commanding officer of that military convoy looked at his watch and said, "No, we got time, all right, hop two," all those soldiers instantly would pour into your house because the commanding officer commanded them. There's guardian angels, which we're going to talk about tomorrow, but they're commanded not by us, they're commanded by God. And so pray, not to the angels, but pray through Jesus. Pray with faith to God, asking him to send his angels to protect us and to watch out over us. In 1996, my parents were in a horrific car accident along with my younger brother. While they were driving along the icy roads, a car popped out to pass and they hit each other about 50 miles per hour. There's no way to slow down. My brother was in the back seat of the van and had just started to unbuckle his seatbelt to lay down, and instantly this car pops out. My brother says he's confident he was pushed. He was pushed down so he didn't go through the windshield. The accident was so horrific that my mom was in a hospital bed for 3 months and then had to learn how to walk after that. My parents had that kind of out-of-body experience. They said they could feel the angel's wings and the warmth of God's love. 10 years later, in 2006, my wife was driving our Jeep. We had a sweet Jeep Wrangler, pre-kids, of course, with the fat tires and the Hummer yellow, but it only had a shoulder harness. It didn't have a lap belt yet for some reason. We bought it. In case you don't know, Jeeps are prone to rolling, and while my wife was driving home, someone stopped short, and the Jeep started bouncing around on the big overinflated tires that we had. And when she got home and told me about it, she's just white as a ghost, basically. And she said, "And then we bounced this way, and we bounced that way, and we..." And I stopped my wife and said, "Who's the we?" God sends guardian angels to protect us, to watch out over us. Guardian angels are real. God says to us, and for an incredible encouragement in Psalm 91, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you." To guard you, to protect you in all your ways. Jesus knew this well. As the angels came and they attended him after he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and they encouraged him. But Jesus also taught us with the angels to don't test them. As the devil brought Jesus up to the top of the Temple Mount and said, "Throw yourself down," Jesus said, no, you don't test God. You don't tempt him. Even though there's guardian angels there, you don't push it. God has blessed you. God has surrounded you with his guardian angels. Trust God that he will send them at the right time, at the right moment, to keep you safe in him. In yesterday's devotion, I talked on how guardian angels are real. The good angels, the blessed angels that watch out over us. But evil angels are also real. If you read the book of Revelation, about a third, and again, the book of Revelation's picture language explaining the end of time, but about a third of the angels turned evil. They rebelled with the devil and were cast from heaven, and they're against us. And that sounds terrifying, But do the simple math. Two-thirds are still good angels, and above and beyond that, we have our powerful Lord who can just flick the devil and flick away the evil angels in a second. But yet those evil angels are more powerful than we are. Not only are evil angels real, but so is demon possession. Just a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine called me up. His brother became demon possessed, brought him to a local pastor of one of our churches, and they performed an exorcism. And my friend was so freaked out, so scared. It was like 3 a.m. He had to call me. All the lights were on in his house, but he just could not go to sleep, having seen the power of evil as his brother was thrown to the ground, shaking in convulsions as his evil spirit left him. And I warned him. The Bible says that if an evil spirit gets exorcised or removed from us and it's not filled with something, that evil angel comes back with even more evil angels. Should you be concerned? Should you be scared about demon possession? No. I am 0% scared of being demon possessed. And here's the reason why. Inside of my heart is Christ. Full up in my heart is Jesus. There's a gigantic no vacancy sign on my heart. When you have Christ in your life and you love him, you have a no vacancy sign on your heart. Here's the warning. Don't crack open your heart to evil. Don't play around with evil, with Ouija boards and horoscopes and the occult. You're cracking yourself to evil to try to let that in. They can't come in unless you invite them in. You have someone stronger, more powerful, Jesus, filling your heart. You're safe. You're safe in him from demon possession. So thank Christ regularly for his incredible love and his power in your life. I cannot thank you enough for the incredible support, the amazing comments that you shared when I got open and got vulnerable about talking about my son and losing him on this side of heaven, but him being gained by Jesus. We decorated his twin's nursery, Maggie, in angels. Not because that our son, Martin, is an angel, but that God sent the guardian angels to protect his sister. And now MJ, Martin, is with the angels. So many times as people came over to our house and they saw the nursery, which everyone's all excited to see, and they saw the angel theme there, and almost every single person said, yes, yes, now your son is an angel. Friends, that's not what the Bible says. In Luke 20, the Bible says that those who die in faith and are in heaven are like angels. Not that we are angels. Only the angels themselves are the created beings that come down to this world to protect us and to do God's bidding. Our loved ones who have passed away, they're in heaven. And their job in heaven is to celebrate Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And our loved ones who have passed have no work, no responsibility down here on this earth. So for us to say Grandpa helped change the red light to green light so it could get to work on time, that's not Grandpa's role. If Grandpa's a believer in heaven, he's celebrating Jesus. The angels are the ones that do work here. Rather than trying to gain comfort by having a loved one watch out over us, why would we want to peel them away from the glory of heaven? Celebrate the fact that because Jesus died for them, was raised to life for them, that now they're in glory, celebrating of all eternity and waiting for us to come to them. And then trust God that his guardian angels and his power and his protection, God watches over you. The devil made me do it. Oh, that phrase is so wrong for two big reasons. One, the devil can't make you do anything. You're not a robot. He's not at the joystick controlling your life. The only thing the devil himself can do is tempt you. You and I are the ones that fall into that temptation. Secondly, the devil is an evil angel in one spot and in one place. Only God himself is across the entire world, that God himself is present everywhere. The angel of the devil is only in one place at one time. So if he's specifically coming after you, you're pretty high on his priority list. There was one time I thought that possibly the devil himself might be after me. I was standing in front of almost 2,000 people preaching a sermon at a youth rally. And for about 20 minutes, I openly mocked the devil. I mean, I was relentless about how we had no power, no strength, made fun of superstition. I smashed a mirror. I walked underneath a ladder, talked about black cats, just mocking that the devil has no power over us. And at the end of that sermon, I looked out to this audience that was there. And I said, if I was the devil right now, I'd be standing before God in heaven pleading, let me at Pastor John. Let me destroy him. Let me kill him. Because then I asked them, what would it do to your faith if on my drive home, I got in a car accident and died after I openly mocked the devil? What would that do to your faith? And there's this hush across everyone. And you know what I said? I said, I go to heaven and the devil still loses. He has no power, no mastery over us. And it was funny. Everyone in the audience like that started applauding. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, wait a second. You're applauding my death right now. I don't like our relationship and where this has turned. But it was this great truth that taught them that the devil has no power over you. He's not master of your life. God is. When you have your life in the hands of God, his powerful, loving, merciful hands, you are safe.